B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
All right, we are live on the Over Under 985 podcast, the first one of 2021. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshitz is here. Let's fire it off to the people on YouTube and on Twitter. People like to chat in during the show. So here is the lineup for all you lucky people that tune in very early instead of coming in late being like, what did I miss? What did I miss? Ah! We're doing Super Wild Card Weekend off the bat. And then there's a couple of college basketball games tonight. NBA TNT. I know the Lakers play. I know who else. Oh, the Brooklyn plays early too.
Yeah, Sixers, Nets with no Durant and Kyrie has also been ruled out. So that is a basically an old school Nets game. No Kyrie, no Durant.
There you go. And then the national championship is on Monday night as well. So let's get into it. I shared some of these trends with you earlier today, Dan, when it came to the NFL, and at least I thought they were worth monitoring because last year I worked on the air when these games were happening. I went to the, you might've went too, right? We went to the Patriots game. I don't know if you were with me or not.
Yep.
There was a game last year, Patriots Titans, which was, so the dogs do very well. When it comes to wild card weekend. So keep that in mind. Like, yeah, teams win, but they might not cover, and especially last year. Who was it? The Buffalo, right? And then they almost blew it. The Texans ended up winning, right? Was that what happened? Yep. I'm just trying to think of what happened in last year's wild card weekend. But the underdog, 11-1 against the spread the last 12 games in general. The last 12 wild card games, the underdog's 11-1. The under is hitting 17 of 22 of those games. Two teams to watch out for. New Orleans is 2-9 against the spread as home favorites in the last 11. And Pittsburgh, I just looked this up a little while ago too. The total's gone over in 12 of the last 14 home playoff games for Pittsburgh. Dude, do you know that they beat Cleveland 17 times in a row in Pittsburgh?
That's a crazy fucking number. That's a crazy fucking number. 17 times in a row to own a team that bad. Even when you're home, still that's a wild number.
So at least I thought we'd I just start off with those trends because those are like, you know, they're pretty legit trends there. So game one, everyone's into it. You're a boy, Josh Allen, the coach Sean McDermott. At home, going to have 6,700 fans. They're 7-1 at home this year. The Colts went 11-5, 5-3 on the road. And they're 6-point favorites, Buffalo. I feel like the Colts defense can give Buffalo fits. I think having a good defense and a good running game is always good in the playoffs. But I'm going to give you this trend, Dan. Colts 0-3-1, their last four meetings in Buffalo. The under 4-0, the last four meetings between these two teams.
Well, I mean, take a look at least from the Colts perspective. You know, Phillip Rivers is, you know, has not exactly been a fantastic cold weather quarterback. If you're a Patriots fan, obviously, when he came to New England, you know, multiple times, whether it's AFC championship games or divisional round games, he and the Chargers struggled almost every single time. I really can't remember. I think the best game that Rivers played was maybe back when he tore his ACL, honestly. And I think he's still in LaDainian Tomlinson then, too.
LaDainian Tomlinson didn't play in that game.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I was there. It was.
I was there too. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the circumstance was, but I remember Rivers had a torn ACL. They actually played mild. They played pretty well that game.
Yep.
Still didn't win. But nonetheless, I mean, Rivers doesn't play well in cold weather. So that is a, that is definitely a factor, especially when it's in Buffalo Orchard Park. That's an issue. I take a look at, Buffalo's offense. I can openly admit I was wrong about Josh Allen. I was wrong about, kind of that whole team this year. I was just wrong. I just was flat out incorrect about the expectations and kind of everything that, we were hoping to see. I mean, we were pretty spot on in regards to the Colts. We thought their defense would be much better. They were a top five unit. Early on in the season, I thought that Darius Leonard was a major part of that. He got hurt, banged up during the middle of the year, and I think that, that really, really kind of started the downturn of the Colts defense there. That being said, we were pretty spot on with the Colts. The Bills this week, Stephon Diggs is banged up. It sounds like Zach Moss is banged up from what I've been reading. It sounds like that Devin Singletary might be banged up. I think they have another wide receiver who's banged up. Obviously Brown, has not played the past few weeks. I'm sure Beasley, small guy. Listen, regardless, everyone's playing hard at this point, but I mean, Diggs is not even practicing. I expect there to be maybe not issues early on, but I mean, at some point there is going to be, some sort of regression from Buffalo and we saw what happened last year in the playoffs, right? I mean, Josh Allen and McDermott shit their pants against Bill O'Brien. And until they can kind of get over that, I feel like it's going to be a downward trend for Buffalo for me backing them. 6.5 again. You take the 6.5 points, you lay the 7.5. It's opened at 6.5. It's pretty much been steady there. 6.5. It got up to 7 for a little bit. Backed on the 6.5. The opener is the important number for me there. I would take the 6.5 points with the Colts if I'm choosing a side. The total, man, Buffalo is able to go off. Indy's actually been able to, score relatively easily since Jonathan Taylor has really exploded. I think Taylor and the Hines are going to be, very crucial in ball control against that Buffalo defense. We've talked about their weakness defensively is the run game. Obviously, Rivers will not give you the same type of production that maybe someone like Cam Newton would, but still, you're going to rely on Jonathan Taylor and Naheem Hines, those kind of guys. And I think that if they play ball control, Indy has a real chance to win this game. I think they do. I don't think they will ultimately. I think Buffalo will win, but I would not lay the points. I would take the points with Indy. I lean slightly to the under, but for me, the total is it's not a playable total unless you really find an angle you like. For me, I just can't play it.
I'll have a pick on this game on our Saturday show from 7 to 9 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I just want to bring up two trends the reason why I'm leaning towards a certain way. Buffalo, in their last 10 games, dude, they're 9-1. They're 8-2 against the spread. Colts are 7-3, but they're 5-5 against the spread. Also, this year, when the Colts are a road underdog, they're 0-3-1. But hey, it's the playoffs, right? Things change. A lot of those things don't matter when it comes to the playoffs. So, but this is going to be a good game. Josh Allen's on the rise. Brian Daboll's getting, head coaching jobs. Frank Reich's a really good offensive mind. And the defense for Indianapolis has been really good. So we're watching two teams going in the right direction. It's just which quarterback, right? I mean, really, that's what it comes down to for me. Which quarterback is going to make the mistake? I think if I'm basing it off of this year, it's Phillip Rivers will make the mistake.
Yeah, but, no, I agree with that.
We watched Josh Allen last year, and it wasn't pretty by any means. The other game, I already have a side on this one. I'll just say it. I gave it out this morning. And by the way, Dan and I were up. I was up at 4:30. You were up probably 5:30. So yep. We're exhausted, but we're grinding, and let's do it.
You're fine.
In hindsight, Seattle, They went 12-4. No matter how much their defense sucked, Dunlop was a hell of an addition late in the year. Chris Dunlop. They're 7-3, but they're not great against the spread of late. 4-6.
Carlos Dunlap, right?
Sorry. God, Jesus. And then Rams, they went 6-4 down the stretch, 6-4 against the spread. I like Seattle. I'm going to buy the hook. I'm going to get it at 3. I'm going to buy. Their record at home in the playoffs, unbelievable.
You don't even need to. You don't even need to buy the hook. It's already at 3 right now. It's at 3 minus 150. Cool.
I got 3. I think Goff's going to play. I think his thumb's fucked up. That's my opinion on it. Jamal Adams will play. Excuse me. But dude, these trends of the Seattle at home. I know that the other thing is there's no fans here, Dan. So I wonder if you got to throw that out the window. But I just think Seattle's playing better football. Give you the better quarterback, and Seattle wins these games. They win these type of games at least week one, and then the next week is when they battle and play that slow, methodical game. So, you know, the last time they played, Seattle won 20-9. That was earlier this year. And I think that's the game Goff hurt his finger. So I'm going Seattle in this one, but just to, you know, throw some trends out at you, I lean under off the bat. I think the Rams are going to play really good defense here. I know you can score on Seattle, but it hasn't been like that of late. The 49ers I know did, but I'll give you this. The Rams versus teams with winning records this year went 5-1 against the spread. But the under trends are through the roof. The under's 15-7 between these two teams last 22 meetings. But the home team, man, it's the home team when it comes to this matchup in Seattle in the playoffs. I'm going Seattle minus 3.
Are you PPAing that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Low PP action early on.
And don't get me wrong, this is very square, but I'm riding the trend here, and I'm fading Jared Goff with a bad thumb, and I'm going with the better quarterback once again.
I think it's to make an argument against Russell Wilson at home against a divisional opponent that he knows super well. I mean, I'm not going to PP Seattle, but I mean, again, I think it's hard to argue taking LA at 3 or 3.5. I think you really needed at least the Rams at a 4 or 4.5 if you really wanted to take that side. I think Seattle at 3. I think at 3, Seattle is the side that I would probably take too. Look, in regards to the total, I don't necessarily agree. The way I think this game sets up is a little bit differently. I think LA is going to run the ball. Cam Akers, we talked about him at the beginning of the season. Obviously, he didn't have the impact that I thought he would until, you know, later on. I think, you know, week 11, 12 is kind of when he started, you know, really kind of coming on. I think Akers is going to have a massive impact in this game. I think you can run the ball on Seattle, and I think that that's what the Rams are going to do. You know, set up the play action and have, you know, if Goff can play and his finger's okay, you use him off play action, and that's the offense you're going to run against Seattle, you know, assuming that Akers is, you know, not terrible. The way I look at it for Seattle, you know, Carson's been banged up all season. I highly doubt that he's healthy in this situation. Same with Carlos Hyde. Hyde's been banged up off and on. And to be honest with you, I'm just not really impressed by Carlos Hyde. He's not exactly someone who's going to scare me in a playoff game like this, especially in a divisional game. The Rams front seven is elite on a bad day. Probably the best in the league on a good day, you know, right there with the Bears and the Bucks, in my opinion. I think that they're going to commit to stopping the run to make Russell Wilson throw. And in that case, I think you're going to see, a total lean towards the over because of the fact that Wilson's going to have to probably throw 35, 40, 45, you know, times, because I just don't think that Seattle's going to be effective running the football. They haven't been all season. They weren't with the Rams. So while I certainly understand the under trend and I understand the two games between these two teams have gone under the season, I'm going to fade that trend, Joe, to kind of take something from you. And I'm not going to play the over, not PP it, but that's definitely the way I lean in this game. If I'm leaning towards the side of anything, it's going to be the over. I mean, I do expect, the Ram LA to run the ball with some success and Goff to, you know, at least be able to move the ball off play action. I think that's what they're going to have to do offensively because Goff is not going to be able to run, you know, just sling it. There's no way they're going to be able to do that. I wouldn't be shocked if we see like a Goff pick six at some point because it's Goff and, you know, that's first off the kind of thing he does. And second off the thumb, you know, it just kind of has the makings of a defensive touchdown type game as well. Certainly for either team, because I mean, LA's defense is just so fantastic. Wilson's been making more mistakes recently. I would lean over. Again, it's not something that I love or something that I'm, you know, super dead set on, but I do think that if you're going to play an over on Saturday, this would be the one I would look at. I just think that the under sets up usually pretty well for a regular season game between these two. But the way that, I mean, Seattle's going to score, LA is going to have to keep up with them. So there's going to have to be, you know, a little bit more movement than usual.
Yeah, the overplay on that could be interesting. I mean, most of the season, Seattle had a lot of overs. You know, they could get out to a lead and, you know, the trend says under, but I wouldn't be surprised the way it's hard to take an under with Seattle. So I'll at least say that. Saturday night, 8:15, Tampa Bay goes to Washington. I'm calling this the tomato can game. This is the Brady, they didn't win the division, but they're going to get the NFC East team. You know, we discussed this, Dan, but the last time this happened was when New Orleans hosted Seattle, when Matt Hasselbeck and Beast, was it Beast Mode game? I forget what they called it.
Yeah, Seattle hosted New Orleans. So
sorry, New Orleans, yeah.
Yep, Seattle hosted them, yep.
Oh, by the way, did I tell you, on that game, we always talk about what some of the biggest losses we ever had. I took New Orleans that day minus 500 to win 100 that day.
Jeez.
Yeah, I took that and then I did them in a parlay because I thought they would win. And but that was how long ago was that? 10 years? I don't know when it was. I just remember that day. I remember I put the bet in and I go, man, I'm a fucking moron, 500 for 100. And that day, I've never done it since. I've never – and I think that was the same year I bet Brock Lesnar 500, and he got punched in the face and lost the fight in 10 seconds. I lost money on that Brock Lesnar fight faster than at the fucking blackjack table. But that game –
I think that was 2011, so 9 okay, years
yeah,
ago.
So, yeah, 9 to – yeah. So that game, though, still sits with me. But it's a similar situation here. Now, Washington doesn't have the offense that obviously Seattle did then. Here's the deal. I think this is a tomato can game. I don't think Tampa Bay and Tom Brady are losing the first playoff game. There's like a lot of intangibles that I have here. But the trends show that Washington, you know, should get, you know, some love at the 8. Underdog 5-0-1 last 6, road team 5-0-1. Now that didn't have Tom Brady. Last 4 meetings in Washington when Tampa go 3-0-1. So that's the only thing I see there. As far as totals go, you know, when the Bucks put up 350 yards, the over is 5-0 the following game. But the under is 5-0 Buccaneers last 5 playoff games is a favorite. That doesn't matter, right? Because Tom Brady wasn't there. But the Bucs 0-4 against the spread the last 4 wildcard games. Again, doesn't matter because Tom Brady wasn't there. So there are a lot of things that lean Washington here. When I see 7 or 8 points here, I think there are people that want to fade Tom Brady. I've seen this fucking before. I've seen this. This is the tomato can game. They're going to win by fucking 14, 17 plus.
Well, I mean, it got up to 9 earlier today. There was a group of sharps that banged the 9 number in Vegas and did bring it back down. It looks like relatively across the board back to 8. The way I feel about this game is, we know what Saturday is going to be, right? Saturday is going to be Bills and Bucks teaser. You're going to bring the Bucks to 2.5. You're going to bring the Bills to 1/2. Every square motherfucker from here to, you know, to Timbuktu is going to be on that fucking tease. It's just, it's the truth. They're baiting you on one side. What I feel pretty confident about saying one of those sides is probably a very dangerous side to play. Unfortunately, I want to believe that it's Buffalo. I do think that Buffalo is probably the more dangerous of the two sides because I can legitimately see Indy winning that game. Can legitimately see them winning that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that, I can that, legitimately.
Even if the Dolphins got in, that would have been a team that would have given their defense will give them fits. I agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I do take a look at this and I say, well, and I talked about it with Steve Buchanan, who from DraftKings, who loves, you know, who loves the Redskins. And we kind of talked about it today. The football team. The one thing that this game does kind of remind me of is the two primetime games that Brady played, and specifically against the Giants and the Bears, who are built somewhat similar to this football team, right? So, I mean, you're kind of relating to a really good defensive line and a really good front seven against a subpar offensive line. And I mean, what I expect to happen is I think Washington's going to tee the fuck off on Tampa's offensive line. And I think you're going to see Brady under pressure a lot. And we know that when Brady is under pressure, things go badly. And, you know, in New England, he got the ball off quick. That's not the Bruce Arians offense. The Bruce Arians offense is, you know, throw it down the field, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not, you know, it's not a quick passing offense. That's a deep passing offense. We saw Brady led the league in deep balls this year, passes over 20 yards. So I do think that there's going to be some struggle there for Tampa. I do think that Mike Evans' injury, from what I've heard from someone today, is not good. And he's probably going to be more of a decoy than an actual player out there. And if that's the case, well, now you're really, I mean, now you're really down to Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin, which of course are two elite options, but still, I think you're going to have to use Gronk more as a blocker. And so I think that's going to be a dynamic change. I don't think that, you know, Ronald Jones is 100% healthy either. They're going to have trouble running the football. Fournette, in my opinion, was not good. I look at this and say there is a real possibility here that Tampa struggles in this game. I know that, you know, that everyone's super high on them. I'm not going to take the Washington football team in this scenario, but I do think it's going to be more of a defensive battle than people are letting on. So PP, give me the under 45 between these two teams. Again, I'm going to be on a lot of unders this week. That's, you know, part of the playoffs is people love taking overs in the playoffs. And I think the majority, something like 68% of the games last few years have gone under. All right. Especially in the wild card round. This is what I'm going to be, you know, going to be talking about here. This is going to be an under game for me. I got to take it at 45.5, opened at 46, down to 45.5 already. Probably going to end up dipping lower because of the fact that, you know, it opens so low. I expect Brady to struggle kind of like they did in the primetime games. And here's an interesting stat, not mine, but here's an interesting stat. Tom Brady in games, in primetime games this year, not good. Did not cover a single fucking spread. I believe it was 1-3 straight up, 0-4 against.
They only beat one team with a winning record.
Yeah, again, and that was Green Bay. They absolutely crushed that team, dominated them. It wasn't even close. But again, primetime games, Brady struggles. You know, Brady has struggled this year. Maybe he's old. You know, I mean, it's 6:30 right now. I'm tired as fuck. So, I mean, maybe he's just old or whatever. Obviously not. But my point is, I do think that this is going to be a game where if Washington can get any sort of pressure on Brady, I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. And offensively, I'm not expecting much from Alex Smith. Antonio Gibson is kind of the engine for that offense, Joe. And the Bucs have probably a top two or three run defense in football. I don't expect Antonio Gibson, who's already banged up, to be that successful moving the ball. Terry McLaurin's already banged up. They're going to have trouble moving the football as well. And I do think that's the reason the Bucs are going to win, because you know, because of the fact that, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Tampa offensively, which is why ultimately I think Tampa will win that game. In regards to the guys commenting about, I still think that Josh Allen sucks. I'm not on the Josh Allen sucks island. I'm merely just talking about, I think that we've gone from, I certainly underrated Buffalo, but now I think the public has kind of gone the other way on that team, and now we're overrating Buffalo. I mean, we're comparing them to what Kansas City is and talking about how good they are. I mean, let's see them win a playoff game before we start doing that, shall we? Because I just, again, I want to remind everyone, same Josh Allen and same coach who shit the fucking bed against Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien. So, I'm again, it just, you know,
well, I think we started the podcast, you know, talking about that. Maybe he missed that part. I also said that the Dolphins defense would give Miami fits. I know Miami put up 56 points, but, you know, in a playoff game, I think there are certain teams that have good defenses that in a playoff game, like, dude, no one thought the Chargers would give the Chiefs any grief this year, and they did. You know, it's just there are certain defenses that slow down teams. I think the Colts can slow down Buffalo. I just think that Buffalo right now, though, is going to horseshoe up their ass. And I just think Philip Rivers is going to fuck it up somehow. But that defense for the Colts, I wouldn't be surprised if that, again, I know we're talking about a different game here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Taylor ran. They held the ball and then played defense to keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. You know what I mean? Like, I just wouldn't be surprised if they did that. On the Tampa Bay, I was just going to say, on the Tampa Bay, right, the guy that I worry about in this game is Montez Sweat. Like that dude has become so good because of Chase Young. You know, like, he's a good player anyways. But, dude, he's the tackles for loss. Like Ronald Jones, guys like that. Like LeSean McCoy has actually turned it on over the last couple of weeks. Again, that's the guy I look at. Chase Young, I think he'll be in Brady's face all day. But I think you can see a lot of play action. To your point, Brady likes to get the football out quick. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But I think Brady can exploit that secondary. I don't think there's a guy that can cover Gronk. And I think if Mike Evans is hurt, I think they could still win the game with Godwin and Antonio Brown. So I think people are going to love Washington. They're going to root for him. I just look at this as, like, look at it in like, reality. Tom Brady is not going to leave for a year, go to the Bucks, and Sarge is calling me right now, by the way.
Yo, what's up, Sarge?
Does Sarge not – do you think he looks at Twitter?
No. No, I don't. I think Sarge is completely.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Hi, Sarge.
What's up, brother?
You're on the Over Under 985 podcast right now as we're recording.
Oh, get out! I'll call you later. Then what's up, Danny?
What's going on, Sarge?
That's everybody, Sarge. I'll call you after.
Yeah. I'm headed out. We'll catch up.
We'll catch up, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Sarge, wrestling inside the ropes. You know what?
I haven't seen or talked to Sarge in such a long time, man.
Do you think he tried to call me to leave me a message thinking I wouldn't answer because I'm on?
No, I think he had no idea. I think he had no idea.
Anyways, all right, so there's the Saturday night games, Dan. Sunday. Oh, this is Super Wild Card weekend, too. It's so super. This game on Sunday, I'm fucking pumped for.
The Sunday card is legitimately better than the Saturday card. It is. It just straight up is. You just got to call it out.
Brady Saturday night's good. We get to watch locally here. We get to, you know.
Agreed. That's going to be a fantastic watch.
But Ravens, Tennessee, okay? Baltimore doesn't have that defense that they did years ago. Like, but let's get that mindset out of your head. What the Ravens have good that's going on is they're throwing to their tight ends, they're running the football well, and Lamar Jackson's healthy. That's what's good about Baltimore right now. When they have those three things going, they're fucking tough to beat. Now, Tennessee, what Tennessee team do we get? You know, do we get the team that fucking gets blown out or the team that blows out teams? Like, I'm dead serious when I tell you, I don't know what Tennessee team you'll get this week. Are we going to get the Tennessee team that fucking went on a run last year that could have went to the Super Bowl? Like, the last time these two teams played, if you remember in November, Tennessee snuck out that win late in the game, 30-24. So, you know, Tennessee has the advantage here. They have Derrick Henry, right? So, like, is that what they're going to do? Lean on Derrick Henry and then try to go play action? I mean, Ryan Tannehill had a hell of a year. I think Tannehill can run, too. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson level, but
no, you know, he's
somebody you should look at. All I'm saying is this. This is going to be a physical fucking game. You know, I think Baltimore's playing better than Tennessee right now. Doesn't mean that Baltimore's the better team. I just looked this up. Of the last 10 games, Baltimore's 7-3 against the spread, where Tennessee's 5-5. So that's a fact. The teams that are playing, Baltimore's playing better. And they obviously got that win against Cleveland on Monday Night Football. Here, I'll just throw out these trends, Dan, whether you like it or not. Road team 3-0-1 last four games. Under 9-4-1, but the Ravens have struggled against Tennessee in general. 3-7-1 in the last 11 meetings.
So, again, what I'm going to say about this one, I expect this to be somewhat similar to that Baltimore-Browns game, right? That fucking just craziness game. The game was fucking crazy. It was so much fun to watch on Monday night. Look, this is a game I think it's really hard to pick a side. And I think that if you're picking a side, then you feel really strongly about either Tennessee repeating their performance from early in the regular season, or you're taking Baltimore based upon their track record in the last few weeks. And, you know, Tennessee struggles on the defensive end, especially. I mean, what they did versus Houston last week was, you know, in my opinion, pretty bad. They did not look ready for that Houston team whatsoever. And that Houston team has been a totally different team since they've had all the injuries they've had. I mean, really, since Will Fuller has gone down, that Houston team has not been the same offensively. So to allow them to get back in the game, score almost 40 points, that doesn't really bode well. What I will say, in my opinion, about this game is, gun to the head, I would take Tennessee. Gun to my head, I would never play a side on this. 3.5, 3. I don't think that it's playable on either side. I mean, if you really like Tennessee, you better get a fucking hook on that. If you really like Baltimore, you really need to get that 3 and you know, see if you can wait for a -110, -115 at worst. I think it's borderline unplayable. Baltimore's been playing so well, as we have talked about, and as you guys talked about. But again, their schedule the last few weeks has been borderline pathetic. Jacksonville, the New York Giants, yada, yada, yada. I mean, again, there's not exactly a win in there that makes you go, oh, well, you know, that's impressive. And again, the last real win that they had was Cleveland. Meanwhile, Tennessee at least has played some tough competition. I will give them credit for that. But I mean, you know, again, not playing well against a team like Houston and the season does kind of make you question it. Tennessee, to me, still is the more explosive offense. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis looks like he's finally put it together this year. He's been fantastic, over 1,000 yards. A.J. Brown, over 1,000 yards. Derrick Henry, over 2,000 yards rushing, just had that monster game. His rushing prop is over 120 yards. So, you know, he's going to be a massive factor in this game. And to me, I would gun to the head, I'm taking Tennessee. If I'm really, really being honest with myself, I mean, I know it's squares, the day is fucking long, but I would play the over. I just think you're going to see a lot of points, a lot of craziness. I expect just almost a primetime game kind of fucking craziness feel. I know it's a 1 o'clocker, but still, I expect some just crazy shit to go down in this game because this is the type of game that would. Now, I just kind of want to remind everyone, Baltimore was like a 6-point favorite against Tennessee earlier in the season and absolutely shit the bed. Tennessee ran all over them and dominated in that game. I still wouldn't put too much stock into that game just because those teams are playing at totally different levels. And since Lamar Jackson has really come back from the COVID shit, he's been significantly better. I mean, he's played significantly better. So, it's a game that I think out of all the games this weekend, Joe, out of all six games, I think this is the game I would avoid easily, in my opinion. I wouldn't touch it.
Just one last thing. I think Lamar Jackson could take this game over, just like Derrick Henry could take this game over. Don't forget about J.K. Dobbins. You know, you know, we always hear about, oh, Derrick Henry, and just sometimes people forget about the guy on the other side, you know?
Yep.
And, but yeah, thinking back to that last game, man, Derrick Henry, remember he fucking threw that guy out of bounds? It was on
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Tennessee's a great dude, especially if you like love backing defense and running. But I don't think the defense for Tennessee has been all that great. But, hey, that's a good one. Two tough teams. We'll find out what happens. Here's one I can't figure out. I already mentioned the New Orleans thing. I already tried to fade New Orleans this year in a game again with the Falcons based off a trend. So I've been burned by the trend on with the Saints. Their running back room is going to be healthy. Chicago has put up more points of late. It's 10 points. I don't love it. I love to fade New Orleans. I want to fade New Orleans. I can't do it because I already did it and I got burned. And I took the Bears in a game earlier this year that they covered. So I hit that game. But yeah. I don't know, Dan. The more I look at it, that 10 points, maybe like the Bears keep it close. Yeah, it was 26-23 earlier this year. But that was in Chicago. I like the Saints here. I like the Saints.
It's certainly interesting. It opened 9.5. I mean, it's a really fucking big spread. I know it's in New Orleans, but I mean, we've seen how the Saints have played recently outside of that Minnesota game. Offensively, Drew Brees has not been the same. I really don't know what to expect from Alvin Kamara. I mean, I assume he's going to play. There's no official word on that, but it does sound like, you know, that he's going to play. If it was the Saturday game, I think they might have been fucked in that situation, but luckily it's a Sunday game, so I think he's going to play. Sounds like Michael Thomas is coming back. You know, you don't really know how healthy he's going to be. Emmanuel Sanders got banged up in that game too. Last week, 8 catches. He did get banged up, was out a few plays. Again, I think you're taking a look at another not healthy offense and a lot of question marks for New Orleans. But that being said, I mean, you're going to see a lot of teaser sides take Chicago up to 16. Which, in my opinion, I think you have to do, right? I mean, I think you have to play Chicago plus 16 this week as a teaser side if you don't like New Orleans even a little bit. And I think, you know, Drew Brees has really struggled since coming back from his injury. So, I mean, at least it's intriguing to me. That being said, I could also see New Orleans beating the shit out of this team. Trubisky and the Bears, they've been fantastic recently, but I mean, look, Montgomery got banged up last week. Moody got banged up last week. Cordell Patterson has been banged up off and on the past few weeks. Offensively, they're a totally different ball team. A totally different ball game when Mitch Trubisky's in there. And Trubisky has struggled in the last week or two. He hasn't been, you know, hot Mitch, which he was for 3 or 4 weeks. He was on fire, couldn't miss, really was leading to that Bears team to, he was playing so fucking well. I just personally think at this point, I can't back New Orleans. I can't back the Bears, although I do like them as a teaser side. I said, you have two elite defenses, in my opinion, or two top five, top seven defenses. And, you know, two quarterbacks who, again, as good as Brees has been this season, since he's come back from the injury, he doesn't look right. He doesn't look the same. Save for that Minnesota game, he has not been the same. Kamara was really the reason that, you know, they look so good in that game. I'm going to take the under. So I'm going to PP the under right now, 47.5. I'm going to take that under. Opened at 48, so missed a good number there, but to me, this is the side you got to play. You got to play the under in this game. You absolutely have to play the under. I think that is by far the best play. Laying 10 with the Saints. I mean, if you're going to lay with the Saints, I think you need a 9.5. You need to get a 9.5 to not have to lay that number, that 10 spot. And if you're Chicago, you want to take the points with Chicago. Fine. I think you need to get a 10.5. I think that 10. That 10 number is going to be the number where people really don't want to move off either side. And, you know, the Saints are going to struggle to run on the Bears. The Bears are going to be loaded up. They're going to blitz. They're going to do everything. You know, they're going to they're going to be they're going to kind of pull the same type of thing that they pulled against Tampa. I think they're going to have the same sort of game plan, and I don't think that, you know, New Orleans is going to be effective running the ball. At the same time, how do the Bears put the ball offensively? You know, Mitch Trubisky's probably bound to make a mistake. It's fucking playoffs, you know, and Mitch Trubisky bound to make a mistake. I can't do it. I'm just going to play the safe side, in my opinion, and take the under, which I think is the best play in that game.
All right. We got college basketball coming up, 7 o'clock, two Big Ten games I want to get into coming up in a minute here. But the last game, Cleveland goes to Pittsburgh. Baker Mayfield says he hasn't thrown a football yet this week. I don't know if that's kayfabe or not, wrestling fans. I'm not fading Pittsburgh at home in a playoff game. I'm not doing it. I don't know if I want to bet the 6 though. I'm gonna wait this thing out. I'm gonna wait that line out, Dan. But I think Pittsburgh advances. But I want to root for Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think you're now seeing, you know, Cleveland actually hit with some legitimate COVID issues. I mean, not having, you know, your best offensive lineman in Joe Batonio is going to be a fucking problem for the way that you do things if you're Cleveland. Not having your head coach call games is going to be a fucking problem, you know, for the way that Cleveland has called games and set up the play action this year. And, you know, I mean, to me, that's been literally their, you know, recipe for success has been the play action off the run. And again, today we found out that they've also lost their safety for the game, who, I mean, basically is, you know, their big playmaker, you know, in a defensive secondary, because Denzel Ward has been off and on. I look at this and say, man, yeah, now you lose Ronnie Harrison. It's just there does seem to be some issues, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see some more, you know, players who are out in the next few days, and, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about moving this game and yada yada yada. I got in at, you know, on Pittsburgh early. I got in at 3.5, 4.5, I think, with the three numbers I took. I feel pretty good about that at this point. Now it's up to 6, 6.5. I don't think I want to play a side. I don't think I want to play the total. I think this is one we're going to have to wait until Saturday at least, you know, to kind of get a better feel for what's going on here. Unfortunately, it's just not a game that I feel comfortable playing right now. I also take a look at, you know, again, I think Stefanski is going to be a much, much bigger loss than people think because of the way that he helped that offense really develop an identity throughout the season. And again, without Stefanski, man, I don't fucking know what you do. I mean, I don't know. Like, I really don't understand how you're going to do that. You're going to have to basically have him, you know, calling the plays from someplace else, because I think that has been the recipe to Baker Mayfield's success. And I don't see Baker Mayfield, you know, being able to be successful without the play action consistently. And I'm gonna wager on the fact that Stefanski is going to be a problem. I mean, again, Mason Rudolph, as John pointed out here, Mason Rudolph lit them up last week defensively. You know, what is Roethlisberger going to do with? And again, that was a half B defense offense from Pittsburgh. What are they going to do this week when, you know, Pittsburgh has their full team in there in Pittsburgh? I don't see it. I don't see how Cleveland wins this game. And that being said, I think 6 is a bad number to lay with with Pittsburgh at this time. You got to hope that number comes back down.
Yeah. I've been on the wrong side of Cleveland spreads this year. So, like, I don't want to be on the wrong side of it if I bet against them. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know. But you know what I noticed here from our chat friends? They've brought up a lot of recency bias. And I'm telling you, none of that shit matters in the playoffs, dude. None of that shit matters.
I do agree with that. I think
I'll agree with you. I think Cleveland's defense struggles. If Mason Rudolph's going to do that, Ben Roethlisberger's got the same game plan. You know what I mean? I do agree to that point. I'm just saying, one week you can do that, the next week they can fucking come to play. You know what I mean? It's just that's just how I try not to go off the last game. That's just something when it comes to betting, I don't always do that.
You got to take a summary of what's been presented to you recently, I think, is the best way to try and approach it.
All right, dude. There's our football looking. Again, we're on Saturday. We're on Saturday. So we're going to recap all these. We'll see if the lines move, and we'll see if anything changes. We'll take a quick pause. Two Big Ten basketball games at 7 o'clock tonight, Dan. I'm going to be watching both of them. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll continue the DraftKings over under 985 podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 98.5.
All right, we're back. College basketball. Last night I got lucky, Dan. I hit Butler. I'm trying to think of what else. I wanted to play Colorado so bad today. They're winning right now, Oregon, 61-53. Oh, Colorado's good, dude. I had UCLA the other night. The reason why I took UCLA over Colorado, Colorado played three road games in a row. And I was just on the right side of it. Colorado's a damn good basketball team this year. And our Northeastern and Hofstra tied at 68 for those betting early ones. We got Iowa, Maryland. Maryland already upset Iowa this year, Dan. The spread's 5.5. It's at Maryland. So I think Maryland can score. They can keep up. I want to bet Iowa, but they win games. They don't always cover the games. The total is 153. Maybe I should take a look at that. Let's see if there's any trends here, but yeah, so nothing. But I watched Iowa play. Who was it this week? Who'd they play over the weekend? Rutgers. And
they played Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers and Northwestern. Yeah,
and Iowa. It depends on where you got it. They won by 2. Spread was 2.5, 3. You know what I mean? Depending on where you had it. So. Here they are now in a spot where I think they should win. They're going on their third road game of the year. I'm out on Maryland. I've tried to back them a couple of times this year. But, yep, they've already beaten Iowa. So I like Iowa here, but do they win by 6? That's my question. I like Iowa to win this game tonight. I just worried about that 5.5.
So I don't think these two teams have played this year. I think you're looking maybe at last year.
Oh, last year. Sorry.
Yeah. So here's my problem, Maryland. Recently, I mean, they have a nice win on the road at Wisconsin. I mean, I think you have to give them credit for that win. That was a good win. It's hard to win in Wisconsin, especially, you know, this year. I think they're Wisconsin's a really, really good team. That was an impressive win. I then backed, you know, Maryland, you know, at home versus Michigan. Michigan kicked the shit out of them in that second half, kept it close in the first half. The second half was ridiculous. Maryland can shoot, but I'm pretty down on Maryland right now. They had a really nice win early on. You know, they had a nice win versus Old Dominion, nice win versus Navy. Ever since then, they have one legitimate win, and that's Wisconsin. They took a bad L, you know, on the road at Clemson, got beat badly at home by Rutgers, lost on the road at Purdue. Now, they did cover that game, and I was actually pretty impressed by what they did against Purdue. Purdue's a tough place to play, so I will give them credit for that one. But then they got smacked around in Indiana. Again, this is a spread that opened 4. It feels like this is definitely super fucking trappy, right?
Iowa's gone to 6 minus 115 right now, my lord.
Okay, so yeah, it opened 4, yeah. So it's at 6 now. I bet you that gets the 6.5, 7 by tip off. This is to me, it's a Maryland spot, but it's unbackable. And I know that everyone's going to want to be on the over. I think offensively, Maryland has struggled badly. I mean, they haven't scored over 73 points outside that Michigan game. I think they scored, you know, what they scored 70 at Purdue, but offensively they have not put up a good offense performance versus an elite, you know, I guess a good team in the Big Ten. I think they're going to struggle to score. So maybe you look at the under there. I know Iowa is just an offensive juggernaut though. So it's hard to, you know, kind of fade them in that scenario. This is a game I'm avoiding. I would lean Maryland. If you can get a good number, I might even try and take a good number live instead, because I think I expect Iowa to get into a big lead at some point and maybe Maryland comes back. They have good shooting. They can keep up. It's just, offensively, they have been bad in second halves, especially recently. Recency bias, Joe. Recency bias. But again, Maryland has struggled 1-4 in the Big Ten. Not good.
Yeah, Maryland's won two of their last six games. They did beat Wisconsin, as you mentioned. So they can play with anybody. I think Luka Garza is fucking awesome. He is like a big man. Dude, he's going to play in the league. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but his size is so good. So I'm looking at the over a little bit here, Dan. The only reason why is I think Maryland getting home, they might like play a little better at home. So I don't know. I want to bet this game. I like Iowa. Six. That means they have to win the game by seven, dude. They could be up double digits. We've seen them pull guys, too. You know what I mean? Like,
let's also not forget, Iowa has not been good closing out games. They were up by seven, 44 seconds left against Minnesota. Didn't cover that. They almost blew the Northwestern cover a few days ago. They have not been good at closing out games recently. I would be very, very weary about taking them, especially in the second half of games. That's just me personally.
Yeah, the other thing is, Maryland's small. Like, they lost that dude Bruno. Josh Smith went to the that kid Smith went into the draft. Like, they lost a lot of size there. Yeah, you're right. 55 points against Indiana. That's not good.
No, it's not.
Speaking of Indiana, I might buy a hook. But right now they're 9.5 at Wisconsin, dude. This is, you know me, man. I love that Big Ten under.
Are you gonna ride the Big Ten under?
So I'm going Indiana more than anything right now.
Okay. Well, let me get this off quickly. Let me PP this Wisconsin under 128.
Woo!
Yep. Not going to give it out on Twitter, just here. So if you're listening to the podcast, good for you. But I'm going to take the under 128 to me.
That's right, Dan. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. To me, this is the, again, you guys know, and I have not been hot in my college basketball, but this is the exact kind of game that I look for. A Wisconsin home team versus a team who struggles offensively on the road. Indiana, again, it's small sample size, but you have to use what you're working with, right? Florida State, which is, I guess, a somewhat comparable team, 67 points on the road. At Illinois, a much more comparable team, 60 points on the road. I expect Indiana to kind of score in that 60-65 range. Wisconsin, again, to me, not a offensive juggernaut, and recently, their last few games, 64 and 71 points respectively. Now, they did put up a great offensive performance in Michigan State, but even before that, Nebraska, 67 points. Wisconsin, when they're home, they like to play a slower game, beat you with defense. I personally like the under here. I think that this game is going to go under.
Just while we're at it, Wisconsin team totals at 68.5.
Yeah, so again, I think that's right in the ballpark for where I expect it to be. I would lean under there. I do. I would not be shocked if you see a 67 point outbreak from Wisconsin. They, you know, goes right under that number.
I agree. Wow, we agree. So I like Indy in this spot. I like Indy. I took the under too, so I'm with you on the under, and I'm taking Indiana. I bought Indiana 10-10.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Whiskey just beat, they just crushed Minnesota at home, so there is going to be some recency bias. They struggled a game previously at home versus Maryland, obviously lost that game outright, as we just discussed. They haven't been an elite home team, but, I mean, you got to give them credit early in the season. They dominated Louisville, 85-48. I mean, talk about a dick kicking. That is, and again, that was part of the ACC Big Ten challenge. That was ridiculous, and that was also in Madison. So, again, Wisconsin's defense, to me, this is an under game.
How about, just real quick, Iowa's team totals at 79.5?
Again, if you like the over, you need to play the over on that. If you like the under, you need to play the under. I think that your Iowa is going to correlate to the total of the game. So if you think it's going over and you're scared about, you know, Maryland putting up points, then take the Iowa team total. But I think that that's the, you know, that would be the way to approach it, is how you feel about the game is going to be the way that you want to approach that.
What do we think, chat? Do we want to go over or under 79.5 Iowa? I'm torn. 79.5 seems high to me, even though I've seen them put up 80 plus. Big Ten unders, man.
Yep. I mean, again, it's one of those. By the way, Colorado up 9 with 2:11 to go in that one. That one is Colorado. I'm personally on Colorado, not big, very small.
All right, I'm going with the room, Dan.
Go with the room.
We're going under 79.5. We'll PP it as a collective PP.
There you go.
I guess we should look up the home road splits quickly.
Yep, sure. I got you. Again,
what do they score on the road?
Yeah, Iowa on the road, their performances so far, again, we're working off a small sample. They've been at home almost any team this year. Against Gonzaga, they put up 88, Joe. So, I mean, you know, that is a team that obviously we talked about that game. I thought that game was going under. They went way over the total on that. At Minnesota, put up 95 points in a loss. Ooh. But that game, however, that game was also an overtime game in which they scored 12 points in overtime. So, I mean, if we're trying to be really fair about it, they put about 83 points in that game. Still on the road, 83 points is a lot of points. And at Rutgers, barely held on this game. And the Rutgers-Iowa relationship in college basketball is kind of developing a little bit into a rivalry. They only put up 35 in the first half, put up 42 in the second half. I actually had Rutgers plus 2.5 second half in that game because I was watching very intently. Got lucky by the hook there. But Iowa putting up 77. So far, 88, 95, again in overtime, and 77 on the road this year. All really good opponents.
So we're playing a fade or a follow situation here. Oh, man.
Yeah, certainly interesting.
Going under. Let's do it.
All right.
It's the old GPP, the group PP.
There you go.
All right, cool. Well, it's in. We're going under 79.5. Dan, a couple other games I like tonight. And I know there's some others at 7. Cincinnati, SMU, I have nothing on. But the
Cincinnati has been a fucking utter disappointment this year. I mean, I think that can tell you kind of everything you need to know. Cincinnati has been an utter disappointment this year. Just
on the road too. Colorado State's playing UNLV. Colorado State's been pretty good. I watched them the other night. I was just bored, and I watched them, and I was like, hey, they're not bad. But we got that BYU Gonzaga play-in set up tonight. The Zags are giving 17 to BYU.
I think that's a lot. I think that is a lot to for Gonzaga to cover. I mean, BYU is a good team, man. I mean, they don't get the respect nationally that they deserve because they're in the WCC. But I mean, they have had some pretty good fucking victories this year, right? I mean, that win at San Diego State stands out to me, obviously, the most. I thought that was an incredibly impressive performance. they also have some fucking clunkers, Joe. I mean, the outright loss to Boise State. I was very high on Boise State.
Yeah, I agree.
And they absolutely shit the bed on a neutral
second half, too. They had a big lead and they blew it second half.
Yeah, they shit the bed versus USC in that neutral court game. Now they beat St. John. The big spread to me, I know this sounds crazy. The big spread leans Gonzaga. That's the way I would go in that one. I would lean Gonzaga. 17 half points is just fucking disrespectful, but this is the kind of game. Is Gonzaga going to be tested this way the rest of the season?
Sorry to cut you off real quick. Why would Gonzaga take this game if they didn't think they could win by fucking double digits?
Well, I think that you take a look at Gonzaga's schedule, and they play BYU two more times, Joe. So this is going to be the first game out of three matchups. You look at the Gonzaga schedule. I mean, really? I mean, San Francisco and St. Mary's are the two other teams outside BYU who are actually somewhat competitive in the WCC. They beat San Francisco by 23, I think. Let me look it up quickly. 23, 85, 62. And I thought they were wildly unimpressive in that game. I mean, wildly unimpressive. So, I mean, that was a borderline game that I was – I mean, they just weren't impressive, you know. They didn't look like they were trying, honest to God. So I think Gonzaga needs some of these games. Like, they need to schedule another BYU game because of the fact that their schedule is so piss poor compared to, you know, someone in the Big Ten is playing Iowa, Kansas, you know, sorry, not Kansas, Iowa, Rutgers, Northwestern, Minnesota, you know, or someone like the Big 12 who's playing Kansas. I know Kentucky's down this year, but you get the concept. The schedule for Gonzaga is so bad. If they want to maintain that number one seeding, they got to continue with it. So that's the way I look at it. By the way, Colorado is going to cover this game. They are now up, I believe, 8 with 33 seconds left.
Neo Oregon had a little push there at the end.
They did. They did. But, again, the spread is 3.5. It looks like they hit a three-pointer, so they're down 5 with 21 seconds left.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that Gonzaga-BYU game and maybe do a second-half bet pending, because I've watched the Zags play very well second half. They're good. Oh, dude, 163 for a total. Ooh, that looks high.
I mean, you know what Gonzaga's done offensively this year. You know what I mean? Like, you know, 163 again. I do agree. I think that they'll probably play under to that. I expect Gonzaga to try and start to step up their defensive game. But I mean, would you be shocked at all? I would not be.
No, me either. I think BYU could put up points too. How about this one? Illinois Northwestern. Northwestern's come back to reality a little bit, but they're good. They're much better this year. 6-3, 5-1 at home. 6-3, obviously. 5-3 against the spread last 8. Illinois on the spread hasn't been great. I think Illinois is a better basketball team than Northwestern. Can they go on the road, though, where they're 2-2 on the year and beat a team that plays well at home? I see 148, and I think that's high. So off the bat, I see Big Ten under.
Yeah, I mean, this is a different kind of game. I do lean over. Northwestern at home to me is a very different team than they are on the road. I think they're on the road. You have to fade them. I mean, look what they've done back-to-back games against Iowa and Michigan. I know they had a nice win against Indiana, but I would not consider Indiana close to the ilk of, you know, Iowa or Michigan. Illinois to me, Illinois is a good team, dude. You have to give them credit. But again, as you said, on the road, so far, it's been interesting. It's been a mixed bag. I mean, they beat the shit out of Duke on the road. I mean, Duke is not great. They barely beat BC last night. You know, Mike Krzyzewski's team is a bunch of pussies usually. And so I consider, especially this year, that's a group. But, you know, they have the 3-point loss at Missouri. Missouri is a good team. We've obviously, you know, since that point, Missouri's gotten much better. They lost to Rutgers by 3 on the road. I think that's kind of a comparable team to this Northwestern team, is that Rutgers team. They beat the bag out of Penn State. He's probably one of the worst, you know, Big Ten squads this year, at least my opinion. 0-3 in the conference, 3-4 overall. This is going to be, in my opinion, I think you gotta take Northwestern in the points. If you're gonna take a side, I know that the 6-point spread on the road is big, but I think you gotta take Northwestern and the 6.5 at home if you want a side in that game. Absolutely, without a doubt in my mind.
All right, through 2 minutes, Iowa has 0 points, so I'll keep my eye on that one. Some other games.
By the way, Colorado covers 79-72, covered the game. They were 3.5-point favorites.
Boom. USC Arizona is interesting. I've watched USC in every game they've played, they've lost. All I hear about is the Mobley brothers. Give me, you know what? Fuck it. Give me Arizona, PP minus -4.
So, I mean, this is a game where, you know, what can you really expect? You don't know a lot about what USC is on the road this year. This is their first true road game of the season.
I watched them play UConn on a neutral site at what, Mohegan Sun? They sucked. I watched them play last week at home versus, who was it? And they lost. Stanford? I've watched them now. They have talent. Don't get me wrong. But I think Arizona – dude, Arizona 6-1 in this matchup last 7 games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that again, in college basketball, the trends mean dick to me, right? Because you're exchanging players every year. It's not even college football, or at least you're bringing back 75% of the roster. College basketball, the turnover is just so big. Arizona's a really good team in the Pac-12. I think they were kind of underrated going into the season, 3-1 in the conference so far. Their only loss is at Stanford early in the year, and that was their first conference game. It was not a good game. I do take a look at that Montana game though recently and say, well, what kind of happened there? I mean, win by 6 at home. Feels like they kind of fell asleep at the wheel. But since big win home versus Colorado, beat them by 14, that game was never competitive. They dominated Washington, who's probably the worst team in the conference, in my opinion. And they beat Washington State on the road. Washington State's actually a pretty good fucking team this year. I thought that was a really impressive victory. I don't know what to think here. I think you have to go square, Joe. I think I agree with you. I think I'd go Arizona just because you don't know what you're going to get out of USC on the road this year. The one thing I will say is Arizona defensively has been fantastic in the last few games. You know, say for Colorado, who put up 74 against them, they've been really, really good, especially at home this year on neutral court. 67, 53, 60, 61, 64, 74. Those are the points that they've allowed at home. To me, does lean under. I don't think I can take it just because I don't really know what USC, the expectation of USC on the road is. But I've seen USC on a neutral court, and they struggle against good defenses. That UConn game comes to mind. That BYU game comes to mind where they did put up 79, but they struggled for a large portion of that game. So, you know, again, I'm interested to see what this game is like for USC. I think we'll learn a lot about that team tonight, Joe.
All right, cool. What was the other game I was looking at here? I don't love Washington Stanford. I think Washington blows. Like, dude, they don't even care. That's kind of a trend since going back to Markel Fultz days.
Yep.
And then I don't know if you like anything here. San Diego State's been playing well. Nevada as well. That's a good game. And then Washington, Cal. Oh, I like UCLA in the nightcap. I'm a huge fade at Arizona State. Huge fade. So I like UCLA. I'm going to go. It's 2.5, huh? Yeah, I like them as a pick'em. Ooh. All right, I like UCLA tonight, too.
I would be careful with UCLA.
I know one of their players got hurt, but they still played well the other night.
They did. I still think that they were royally unimpressive at home versus Colorado. Colorado should have beat them.
I told you that. I bet that game. The reason why was Colorado played 3 straight road games. Like, the UCLA just got them at the right time.
Yeah, they also got a lot of ref help that game. I watched that game as well. I thought Colorado was the better of the two teams, at least in my opinion.
I agree. I bet the game. I know.
The way I look at UCLA right now is, I mean, Ohio State dominated them at home. That game should have been not 77-70. I thought that game should have been 85-72 type game. That should have been a much larger diversity. Ohio State just couldn't score. They had about a period of 3 minutes where they just didn't score. UCLA barely beat Utah at home, barely beat Colorado at home. Their only road game, Joe, true road game, they got dismantled by San Diego State. And that game was not close, 73-58. From a little bit that we've seen from UCLA on the road this year, really, really hard for me to back UCLA in the spot. I don't think I can do it. I think I'd actually go the other way if I'm forced to play. But I do have a play in that game. PP, give me the over, Joe. I think the over 144 in Arizona State, UCLA. And if I were you, I would wait on that. I think that's going to come down more. But I do expect that game to go over that total. And again, another one I'm just going to give out here. San Diego State, PP. I like San Diego State minus 13.
Oh, you're going, huh?
I know it's a big spread. I get it. But fuck, dude. San Diego State is the right side in this game. They just covered a big spread versus Colorado State, beat them by 13. I know they lost to the night before. I expect them. It should be, it's again, another back-to-back versus Nevada. If they don't cover that spread today, I'm coming back on Saturday and I'm taking them again. That same number. I like this San Diego State team quite a bit.
All right. We got games to watch tonight. So let's see how our bets handle right now. I posted our picks, Dan. I took under 79.5. You took under 128, Wisconsin, Indy. I put a little dabble on the Indiana game, but that's my own play. That wasn't a PP or anything like that.
There is. I will say tomorrow, Friday, it's a lot of bad teams, right? A lot of bad teams. We get Dayton Davidson, which I think is a pretty decent game. There is a spread for that right now. Davidson is -6.5. And then the other good game that we have tomorrow night, Joe, which I think is, you know, for a Friday night game, I'll fucking take it.
Purdue
on the road at Michigan State. Michigan State currently a 4-point favorite.
So I like Michigan State in the spot, but I hate that fucking number four. Hate number four. So I think Michigan State should win this game.
Yeah, I mean that. To...
I got you.
I agree with you. I think that number is a rough number to back. And Purdue has not been good on the road. I mean, they just haven't. Lost by 4 at Miami, lost by 15 at Iowa, lost by 5 on the road at Rutgers, lost by 8 on the road at Illinois. They just haven't been good. But Michigan State, this almost feels like somewhat of a trap game for them, coming off a big win versus Rutgers, and then looking ahead on the road at Iowa. I know it's a few days away, but this could be a trap game for Michigan State. I will be avoiding this game like the plague tomorrow.
I agree. We agree. Lots of agreement, Dan. Lots of agreement.
By the way, Arizona State and probably the line move. No Remy Martin tonight.
Yes, that's why I like UCLA. Remy Martin's kind of sucked this year, though, but whatever. Yeah. I like UCLA. You like the over. I wonder if that impacts your over there, Dan.
Jalen Graham and Tayshaun Cherry and Jalen House. Jesus Christ. All out for Arizona State tonight. My God. Yeah. I don't like the over as much now. I did not see that information before. I would avoid playing the over if I were you at this point.
So just so you know,
that's a lot of production that they have out tonight.
Yeah. All right. Let's just PP it then. I have Arizona PP. Let's go. Ooh, where's UCLA on my thing? Did they pull it off the board? Did they pull UCLA off the board?
I mean, there's like seven players. There's like five players out. So
yeah, it's off the board. My local is on to it.
Yep.
You believe that? the local is on to something.
I probably gave out a number that you couldn't even bet either because it's off the board. I was just looking at the number that was on my board. So, but it's okay. I'm going to own it. I'm going to live and die with the number. It is what it is.
Well, come on. Give me my UCLA. I want to bet UCLA. Oh, don't make me bet Murray State now. Oh, we had some good games tonight, man. As we just, yeah, they're not letting me bet that UCLA game right now. That's upsetting.
I have UCLA reopening at 4 and 143.5.
Maybe it'll come back up.
UCLA -4 and the total of 143.5. I gave it at 144, whatever.
All right. Well, with 13 minutes to go in the first half, Iowa only has 7 points.
Yep. They're struggling. They're struggling. And Maryland is scoring at will, 17-7 early.
What do we got going on in that Indy game?
It is 0-0 in the first minute.
No problem. All right. The under's looking good.
I mean, it's the first minute of the game.
I mean, listen, we got to take all the positives that we can. Do you look ahead to carry as much weight? With COVID, dude, I'm telling you, this has been the worst betting year that I can remember since I – so my betting struggles were like, you know, 09, 10, 11. My betting struggles are more like 07, 08. But, yeah, this has been – I would say in the last 10 years, this has been the worst betting year of my life. And I think it's because of the uncertainty with COVID.
Yeah, I mean the COVID stuff definitely hasn't helped. It looks like UCLA is down to 3.5 now, so there should be a 3.5 there. Look, at least from what I'm seeing, there's a 3.5. Yeah, I mean for look aheads in college basketball, no, it doesn't, because I think that just the uncertainty of whether or not the game will actually be played is really, really frustrating. So, by the way, we have some interesting NFL news coming out from Ian Rappaport. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah.
So, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson is extremely unhappy with the organization after owner Cal McNair informed him he would be involved in the GM and coaching hiring process and provide feedback, but then did neither in the hiring of Nick Caserio, which then leads to the tweet from Deshaun Watson the other night.
Yep. Which is the same old thing or whatever.
Yep.
So, listen. You remember what the odds were of who the next Patriots quarterback was going to be?
I do. It was Deshaun Watson was the favorite.
I mean, dude. I'm telling you right now, it'd be a mistake. It'd be a fucking mistake for the Texans to move on from that guy. But they need a first-round pick. They could trade Watt, too, and maybe get something, free up that $17 million. But, like, I don't know. Like, we'll do the NBA. The game started at 7:30. We got about 10 minutes.
All right.
But just to fuck around for 2 minutes here. If there was a team out there that wanted a quarterback and that could give up the assets and have the salary cap, who are they? So Dallas comes to mind.
To me, it's the Jets.
Oh, shit.
Which is scary, but to me, it's the Jets. You have the number two pick this year. You have another first-round pick this year. You have first-round picks for the next few years, and you have
If I'm them, dude, I would give up the number two pick for Deshaun Watson in a fucking heartbeat, because it gets them out of the general manager decision of drafting a fucking tackle or a quarterback.
Watson is also signed already, so you don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah, you just insert him in the salary cap, which they have. The other thing, Dan, is they have the number two pick and what, Seattle's pick?
Yep.
And they have next year's Seattle pick. Adams.
That sounds right off the top of my head.
Okay. So they could technically give two first-round picks, two second-round picks for Deshaun Watson.
They could. They absolutely could. And
I don't know what player they could give up, though. I mean,
I think if you included Sam Darnold back, I mean, again,
you do
kind of a Sam Darnold, 2 first-round picks, a second round pick, whatever else. I mean, listen, you whatever you need to do, you're going to make that deal. And for the guy who's saying Dolphins give Tua and the 3rd overall pick, no, they're not going to do that because
I don't think they would take it back. You know what I'm saying?
I think you would need to give more than 2 and 3rd. I think you're looking at
You got to give them 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're looking at, you know, again, if we're talking about the Jets giving up Darnold and 2 first-round picks, I think you're looking at giving, you know, Tua and 2 first-round picks and probably a 2nd-round pick. And, you know, I think that that's the kind of price you're looking at for a guy like Watson. And I don't think the Patriots, unfortunately, can make that trade.
Let me ask you this. Let's have fun. Would Jacksonville do it?
Okay.
They have 11 draft picks. They have salary cap space. And they have the number 1 pick. Would Houston take the number 1 pick?
No, Jacksonville would never make that trade. You have Trevor Lawrence.
All right. Yep. Just spitballing.
Yep. Yeah. No. That. I don't think they would ever make that trade.
And I'm the only other team that I have, Dan, is Dallas. Dallas could do multiple things. They could include a Dak Prescott sign and trade.
You can't sign and trade players in the NFL. Yep. So is
Prescott under contract then, or no?
Prescott is not under contract. That's
Well, that would be it. They'd have to trade him by June, so it would be before the draft.
You cannot trade Dak Prescott. So my thing about the Dak Prescott stuff and all the stuff that kind of goes into it is the only way you're getting Prescott is if you basically sign him to, I think you'd have to match like the franchise tender or whatever the fuck it is. It's not the franchise tender, it'd be the transition tag and whatever. So I think it'd be, you know, you'd have to give up basically 2 first-round picks. I think that'd be the only way that you would see Prescott move on. Other than that, I think unless Dallas really just wants to move on from him, they basically would have wasted the asset of Prescott, which is really, you know, that's pretty much Jerry Jones's, you know, shit. So I would not be surprised if that happens, honestly.
Yeah. The Darnold play makes sense. I'm trying to think of another scenario. So a Patriots scenario. 15's not going to do shit for you. Your next year pick ain't going to do shit. You don't have anybody on your roster. I mean, I'm trying to think of who. I mean, nobody. I don't know. Maybe J.C. Jackson, but it's not worth enough.
No.
Yeah, the Patriots don't have enough.
No, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. And I know that, you know, the Patriots fans are going to be crazy about quarterbacks this offseason. Todd McShay's mock draft, as Bill kind of mentioned here,
that's not happening.
Fucking not happening. I mean, you'd have to trade up to 2 or 3. If you're asking to the Patriots,
that means that none of these other teams are taking quarterbacks. That's bullshit.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You'd have to trade up to 2 or 3. You'd really need to make that move. Now, to say that the Patriots couldn't trade up to number 2 or number 3. I think they could make that move. That is a move that they could make. 2 first-round picks, including this year's, and 2 seconds. I don't think that, I think that'd be the case. You're not getting the
job. Someone just mentions, let's say he wants to force his way to New England.
It's not happening.
I'm being dead serious. Like we have to be like unbiased. What is the Patriots' best asset? They have a 15th pick.
I mean, it's the 15th overall pick.
They have Damian Harris.
No.
No, I know he's not. That's what I mean.
You're honestly you're looking at some sort of Joe Tooney. You know, you'd have to basically transition tag him and then allow him to go to there. You know, allow him to go to Houston. You'd have to tag Tooney again and then trade him. I guess that's, you know, again, something that Dallas could do is they could tag Prescott and then trade him. In that scenario, they could, you know, so they have to be, you know, Tooney, the number 15 overall pick, probably giving up a guy like Onwenu or it's basically impossible. You're not getting to
show. I mean, You know what's sad about this discussion is the Patriots don't even have assets if they wanted to get a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they could. I mean, technically, yes, you could. You could give up 3 or 4 first round picks.
You could give up your forever first round pick drafts. And right. Yeah, but that's not gonna fly.
Right. I mean, again, I think that would be crazy. That
Jets scenario, though.
Yeah. So that was broached to me by someone today, actually.
Basically, you're getting 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and Darnold.
Yeah.
You're getting out of the money with Watson.
Yep.
You got 1 year left with Darnold.
The problem with trading Watson, and again, you look at the Deshaun Watson contract.
Is there a hit? Oh, $21 million hit. Yeah.
The dead money this year and next year is not fun.
Well, I read that it's only 1 year. I heard it's only 1 year of $29 million. Or $21 million.
That is incorrect. I don't know who said that, but that is incorrect. This year the dead cap hit would be $75 million.
Holy
next year
shit.
It'd be 67 million.
Oh no, oh,
you
no,
have
dude.
To that would be 50.
Okay, I don't know. All right, I'm gonna I think our very own Matt Dolloff wrote this article. I just want to be accurate.
So again, that's using SportTrack. That's again,
yeah. No, I know what you mean. I'm gonna look this up real quick because I looked into it. I was like, okay, how can this happen? And then I fucking stopped. I was like, yeah, it probably won't happen.
I don't know the exact tip, but from what I know about the cap hits is if you trade a player, there is a dead cap hit. I don't know the percentage base that it would be, but that's what I can tell you is the dead cap hit money is fucking insane.
Okay, here we go. Rumors requesting a trade, and we're only having fun with it because that's what we do here. But Texans, Mike Florio points out Watson's contract wouldn't be a massive obstacle in a trade. If the Texans move Watson before June 1st, and a deal like this has almost certainly happened before the draft, they'd have a dead cap charge of only $21.6 million. So they'd have to do the deal.
Before June 1st. So that makes sense before the new year, I think you could do it because he signed to a long-term contract.
Yeah, so that $21 million reflects his last contract, not his new contract would be like $70 million. I just
right. Said. That's my point. Yeah. It's basically impossible to move him. Right. So again, that makes sense. I'm incorrect on that. You'd have to do it before the new league year starts. Yeah. That's correct. After
that, and that means you have to do it before the draft. The other thing is, I wonder if would the Patriots take on the dead cap? Like, hey, we'll take on the dead cap and make the trade with you. I don't know if they can do that.
Not possible. The other thing is that Nick Caserio is the GM now. He knows every single thing about this organization in and out. You're not making a deal with him. It's not happening. It's fun to talk about. I'll be glad to talk as much as you want, but it's not happening.
Yep. All right. Iowa, 21 points with 7-8 minutes to go. Real quick, Dan, NBA tonight. I love NBA Thursday nights. One of my favorites. How about Philly at – all right. So it's weird. Philly's 4-point favorites right now against Brooklyn. This game's at 7:30. I know you mentioned that guys are out, but is there any value in Brooklyn at four tonight?
I don't think so. I think you have to play Philly at four. I mean, to me, that you have to play that number. It's square as the day is long, but yeah. I think you have to play that number if you're gonna play that side.
Does it not suck for TNT? They put all these like rules in to get stars to play on national TV, and fucking both can't play. I'm gonna put a little dabble in here, Dan. There we go. I just took Philly. How about that? I just took Philly. All right, cool, dude. And then we have Memphis Cavaliers. Anything there?
This is the kind of game I would expect. I mean, I think that you're going to see a shitload of people on Cleveland due to their hot start, right? I mean, they started super well. The total is really low, Joe. 212 down to 210 now. That is a low fucking total if there ever was one. So to me, that might be a little too low. I don't think that game is playable. Personally, I'm interested in the 10 o'clock games. There's three good 10 o'clock games. So the Dallas game, the Dallas Denver game tonight. Do you think, I mean, Dallas plus three is not a terrible bet, in my opinion. It's not. I'm not going to sit here and PP it or anything, but goodness, I kind of like Dallas in that spot. They're being undervalued, and now Denver's at home. You know, Denver coming off a win. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It feels like not a terrible spot to back Dallas.
I hit a over the other night with Denver. It went way over.
I had the Washington over last night. That went over by like 60 points. That was crazy.
Beal alone went over 60. Oh, went for 60.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the only other one. So I think the Lakers win. Do they cover is a good question. But the Lakers at 10 o'clock national television.
I don't think you can take the Spurs at this point. It opened at 9.5. It's down to 6. I mean, that's the best number there by far. So I think at this point you're just chasing numbers if you're trying to take a side on that. That's another game I would see how the pace is early, maybe trying to get in a live total play or trying to get on both sides. But again, it's not possible. By the way, Joe, I've got some interesting college football news.
Okay, what do we got? I saw Don Brown went to Arizona today. That was
your boy Don Brown went to Arizona.
Actually, family friend Don Brown.
Yep, Hendon Hooker transferring to Tennessee.
Guantanamo Bay out.
He's out. They are done. They are done with
that. He is out.
Out.
You know what? Good move.
Yep.
Good move.
Very, very much so.
So we've got Mackenzie Milton transferred. Now Hooker. And we don't know who's going to be the Alabama quarterback next year.
Correct. Nikosi Perry also transferring to Miami, but we don't know where.
Okay. Yeah, he got some action when – oh, that poor dude. I even said it, dude. Trash shouldn't have played in that game. De'Ara King, dude. Look, fucking knee.
Yep.
So upset. I'm so upset for him. That's my – I loved it. He's going to be like one of those guys that I'll always be like, yeah, man, De'Ara King, you know, played for Houston, had to rush for like 200 yards against Oklahoma opening night. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, and then he went to Miami, dude, blew out his knee. You know? he's gonna be like the dude like in a movie. He's like, yeah, man, could have won the Heisman, you know? Yeah, bro. Went to Miami, blew up my knee, man. It was gonna be a top pick, man. You know? He's like one of those dudes. Whatever. All right, I'm talking out of my ass. I think that's it, Dan.
I think we're gonna call it, wrap it up. We have more Saturday. We're gonna try and keep these podcasts a little bit lower now. I know we have the national championship game Monday.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes, we do.
Do you wanna save that for Saturday?
I do. The line is 8, I believe.
It is. It's 8 and the total.
With a total in the 70s.
Yeah, 74 and a half.
Did Kellen Mond just declare?
Kellen Mond declared earlier today, yes.
That's my guy. That's my guy. I think Kellen Mond's going to have an NFL career.
Me too.
Kellen
Mond's going to be slept on.
I use Dak Prescott because he loves Dak Prescott. Like, everything that Kellen Mond does is based off of Dak Prescott. And I think Jimbo, listen, say what you want. Jimbo Fisher got fucking Christian Ponder a first-round job, made Jameis Winston a number one overall pick, and now Kellen Mond's going to be a second-day quarterback.
Yeah, he's probably a second or third-round pick. Probably that third round.
But, like, say what you want about Jimbo. That motherfucker can get guys drafted and make them money.
Especially quarterbacks.
You know, and I could probably go back in the future, too. But Christian Ponder? Remember him?
I do. His wife's hot. He was a fucking bust in the NFL. So,
Dan, do you have an air fryer?
No.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
We did talk about this. No air fryer for me.
I am contemplating. I put meat in the – just so you know, I have put meat in the air fryer.
It sounds gross. Got to be honest.
No. It's spectacular. But I'm going to try tater tots tonight.
Okay.
Frozen ones.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
And I might put some chicken patties in there too.
Okay. I'm still on board with that. Okay.
And I'm going to put my own seasoning and all my own bullshit.
Okay. What do you use for seasoning?
Ooh. Salt. Parmesan cheese.
Okay.
Basil.
You just need to do a fucking air frying podcast, dude.
Joey Air Fryer. Or Air Fryer Joe.
By the way, at the 10-minute mark or the 9:50 mark in the Wisconsin game, Wisconsin is up 13-10.
All right.
Nice pick.
With 4 minutes to go, Iowa has 29 points. So what? Oh, so we got to keep them under 40.
Yep.
It's going to be close, Dan.
I know.
And then Maryland's jacking up fucking threes.
They are. I mean, dude, that's what Maryland does. That's what Maryland does. That's what they did against in the first half of the other game, too, and kept them in the game. So, all right, Joe.
That's it for me. National championship. We're doing all this all over again, but we'll have more basketball games on Saturday.
And Saturday we will dive into the national championship game. We didn't want to do too much of it tonight.
We could probably look up some player props too.
Yep. Sure.
We'll find out who Kentucky's playing on Saturday.
Fuck you. They want to be covered. I'm done.
All right. This has been another edition of the Over Under 985 podcast.
Who you got? Good luck tonight, guys.
All right, Dan. I'll talk to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.